The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Just as you've given him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave me I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understood that I came from you, and they have belonged and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise.
Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning, Father.
Okay, now today and tomorrow and Thursday, you can hear this gospel. Right? It's the Gospel of John chapter 17. It's what's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus, longest prayer of Jesus recorded anywhere in the Gospels. St. Augustine tells us that Jesus could have prayed this prayer in silence, but he chose to pray it aloud for our good and so that we might know the heart of God the Father. Now, there's so much in here that it's impossible to talk about it all. Okay, so please understand, the whole summation of all of our mystical theology and prayer and the depths of union with God that can be described in the most ecstatic prayer experiences, that's all described in three little days right here that you're going to hear in the gospel. So there's no way that I can possibly tell it all to you this morning, but you know, maybe just a thought or two, okay? So first of all, it's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Why is that the case? Well, do you remember what a priest is? I know I've said this before, but what's a priest? A priest is a mediator between God and man who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. Now, were there priests in the Old Testament? Sure, there were. Everybody talks about Catholic priests, but before there were Catholic priests, there were descendants of Moses and Aaron, and they offered sacrifice in the temple in anticipation of the sacrifice that Christ would offer. But who's the real priest? The real priest is Jesus Christ, because he's the mediator between God and man, who is both God and man, who brings about a union between God and man by means of sacrifice. It's just that his sacrifice is the sacrifice of himself on the cross. Okay. Now, why do they call it the high priestly prayer? Well, once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the high priest would go into the temple. And he would offer a prayer in three parts. First part of the prayer was for himself. Second part of the prayer was for his disciples. Third part of the prayer was for all the people. And so here's Jesus now on the night before he dies, the night before he's going to offer the sacrifice of himself, the ultimate act of reconciliation. He offers a prayer in three parts, right? First part for himself. Second part for his disciples. Third part for all the people. Okay. So that's why it's called this. Now, just one little thought here. When you hear the word glory, and it's used over and over and over here in this gospel, 38 times the word glory is used in the gospels in general, 23 times it's used in the gospel of John. So it's a really important word. Jesus doesn't mean glory the way we mean glory. When he talks about glorify your son and give glory to your son, When we say glory, what do we mean? We mean honor and praise, right? I win an award, I get lots of glory. Well, that's not what Jesus means. The Greek word is doxazo, and it means to make known, to reveal. So whenever you hear the word glory used here in this prayer, just substitute in the word reveal. And here's Jesus' prayer, that the Father would reveal who he is to the world through him. He's done that in his very person, okay? Because when you see Jesus, you see God himself. He's done that in his preaching, he's done that in his miracles, but where is Jesus going to make known who God the Father is more than anything else? He's going to make him known on the cross. Okay, so the word glory is something really important. And of all the things that I could tell you about this, let's just focus on just one. He begins his whole prayer by saying, Father, the hour has come. Now you look down through the Gospels, and you'll find every time they try to arrest Jesus, he manages to escape from their clutches because he says, his hour has not yet come. His hour has not yet come. You've heard that before, right? Okay, anybody know the first time Jesus ever says anywhere in the Gospels that his hour has not yet come? It's at the wedding feast of Cana. And the Blessed Mother turns to the Lord and she says, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, woman, my hour has not yet come. But at her bidding, he pours forth an abundance of the finest wine that there is. Well, now he begins his prayer by saying, his hour has come. And what's he going to pour forth? Something even greater than the finest wine. He's going to pour forth his own blood. Now you can see how the wedding feast of Cana actually anticipates the Eucharist, but consider this. He said that first at a wedding feast. Now he says his hour has come, and the book of Revelation says that Jesus' offering of himself on the cross is the wedding feast of the Lamb. What happens after a wedding? We won't get into any details or anything like that, but let's just say the two become one, don't they? And Jesus says right here, this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God. He's going to make known who the Father is, and he's going to make it real by the pouring out of his blood. And that knowledge is more than just cognition. That knowledge is more than just intellect. That knowledge is a perfect love relationship that you enter into by the reception of his body and blood. He says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And everything that our Lord has done in his life has led up to this moment, that we should be one with him in a love knowledge that's equal to what he has with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, that's lofty, but you want to pray about this. This is the prayer of the Father. This is the will of God the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That we should be one with that depth of love. And everything that we do exists for that purpose. Sacraments exist for that purpose. The Mass, you could say the only thing that's an end in itself is the Eucharist because it's Christ himself. All of our fundraising efforts, Bishop's Lenten Appeal, whatever it might be, it exists for that one purpose. And everything that we do, we have to keep that in mind. Love is the greatest of all things. And this is the greatest love of all. So what we want to do, let's keep this in mind, and especially today, ask for the prayers of the saints that we might love as we are loved, and know how deeply God has poured out himself for us. We'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Isidore, pray for us.